last week, but we only actually got through one of the 3 points last week. So Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to be looking from verse 7 through to verse 12. Malachi 3, verse 7 says, "Even from the days of your fathers you have gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Father, we thank you again for this day together today. We thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Lord, we pray for the needs of your saints today. Father, we recognize that there are people hurting today because of the loss of loved ones. We recognize that there are people hurting today because of ill health. We recognize that there are people struggling because of spiritual battles, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you would lend a touch to your people today. We would lend a touch to those who are hurting, struggling, in need of comfort, in need of strength, in need of support, in need of courage, in need of a physical or mental touch, Lord, in need of a spiritual touch. We just ask for your help today. We recognize that there are many things in this world that hurt us, that drag us down, that cause us to stumble in our walk with you. But we just ask, Lord, that you would have our whole hearts today, as James said, that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, might, and strength, Lord. And Father, we just pray that you would help us this morning. Father, as we come around your word, that you would give us what we need in a time of such desperate situations that we face, and that you would help us as only you can. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's most precious and wonderful name. Amen. So last week we only looked at the returning part, and we saw that there was a direct parallel between our blessings from God and our walk with God. We cannot expect God to bless us unless we are being obedient to his word, unless we are walking with him. Now, this is not talking about a health and wealth gospel. This is not talking about a prosperity gospel. This is simple biblical principles of you reap what you sow. You cannot expect to receive God's blessings unless we are walking in line with God's commands, unless we are walking in line with God's word, unless we are where God needs us to be. We can't expect God to bless us if we're not in the center of his will. And God said to the nation, "Return unto me." And yet they said, "Wherein shall we return? Do we need to return? We don't really see anything wrong with what we're doing." The nation of Israel was complaining to God because he wasn't blessing them. And yet when God said, "Well, this is what you need to put it right," they said, "Really? We don't need to do that because we're not doing anything wrong." If they would only return to the Lord would be willing to pour out his blessings upon the nation. And sometimes we have the answer to our problems right in front of us, but we're too prideful to do anything about it. We're too prideful to bow the knee and say to God, "Yes, you are right. I need to put this right in my life. I need to maybe forsake this in my life so that I can walk closer to you, that I can have a closer walk with you and a more obedience to your word." Putting the Lord first in our life is the key to enjoying his richest blessings. We cannot expect the blessings of God to be poured out upon us if we're not where we're meant to be. That is just a basic biblical principle. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Then we come to our next point, the robbing part. We saw the returning. If they would just return to the Lord, they would be blessed. But then God said, "You are robbing me." And they said, "Wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Now this is one thing that I promised the Lord that I would never do in a church. That I would never come in and just preach about money. Because sometimes you go to churches and it's just, you need to give, you need to give, you need to give, you need to give. And I've never done that until today. That's a nice thing about expository preaching, because you come to passages of Scripture, then we're going to talk about tithing. And again, this is not a prosperity gospel. This is not a, you know, touch a hanky and, you know, wave it over your wallet and suddenly you're going to have oodles of money. This is just a biblical principle. If the nation wanted God's financial blessing on their lives, God said to them, then you need to obey the law of tithes and offerings. He said, but you haven't, you've robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed you? You've not done what you should have done. James read the verse this morning, Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. If God doesn't have our heart, then he doesn't have anything. And I'm going to say this. You can be a 50% giver. You can be a 10% giver. You can be honorable in giving the Lord your tithes. But if you haven't given him your heart, it doesn't matter how much money you give him, because he wants your heart first. And we ought to love the Lord our God with all our heart, because you think of the price that he paid for us. If he had the same attitude towards us or towards the cross as we have towards him, would Christ ever have made it to Calvary? And the answer is no. Because the amount of excuses that we use to not do what the Lord has asked us to do is unbelievable. But we are to give him our whole heart. Everything that we have belongs to him. But we have become half-hearted Christians. We are meant to be wholehearted in our worship. We are, and here's the thing, you know, we talk about worshiping God and sometimes think, oh yeah, well, you know, the worship in that church is just not as good as the worship in that church. Let me tell you something. Worship is not about music. We put that right, first of all. The only time in the Bible where worship and music is mentioned together, it's mentioned in terms of idolatry. And that's in Daniel chapter 4, with the image of Nebuchadnezzar. When the music played, they were to worship the image. Worship is not, music is important. It's important that we praise the Lord. David was one of God's musicians, so it is important that we have a good music and a good praise to the Lord. But that is not what worship is. We can worship the Lord, yes, when we sing, absolutely. But we can worship the Lord when we give as well. But you don't hear that preached very much. You see, we worship the Lord when we show him what he is worth. That's where the word worship comes from. It's an old English word, worthpiet, which means to show someone their worth. And Israel weren't worshipping their God as they should. Can I say the church today is not worshipping God as they should? It's amazing that we can go to a church meeting and nowadays we want hours and hours of singing and praising, but we don't want hours and hours of teaching and preaching. In Ezra's time, when he stood up and preached, he preached from sun up to sundown. But we don't want that today. But that's God's way of speaking to us, is through the preaching of his word. But we want to alter it now to make it more comfortable, more palatable, more politically correct. Let me tell you something. This is probably one of the most politically incorrect books on the planet. It's not politically correct. It never will be politically correct. But it'll be biblically correct. It'll tell you how to live your life. It'll tell you what not to do. It'll tell you what you should do. And this is what Israel had forgotten. This is why God said, return to me. Just get back to the basics. Can I say this to you? If you wandered off from the Lord and you're not where you should be, just get back to basics. Get back to the Lord. You know, when you've lost something, I am useless for looking for things. It drives Joe to absolute distraction. Joe, where's my keys? They're in the drawer. I'll go in the drawer. No, they're not. They're in the drawer. No, they're not. They're in the drawer. No, they're not. And she'll open up the drawer and she'll say, there they are. Oh, yeah. They were in the drawer all along. And often as you say to somebody, oh, I've lost an evil for them. Say, oh, Dad, I've lost my car keys. I said, go back to where you last had them. Go back to the place. And she said, if I knew where I had them, then they wouldn't be lost, would they? But that's what we said, we go back to where it was, where you last had them. And that's the thing with us, sometimes we just need to go back to where we were before things started to go a little bit skew. The children basically just had to return to basics. They had to realize that they weren't walking as they should. And the Lord said to them, you are robbing me. How? How are we robbing you? How have we robbed God in your tithes and offerings? And because of this, he says in verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse. This is the third time in the book of Malachi where God said someone was cursed. In verse 14 of chapter 1, the individual was cursed for offering corrupt sacrifices. In chapter 2 and verse 2, the priesthood was cursed for their hypocritical service. And in chapter 3 and verse 9, the whole nation was cursed for robbing God. When we rob God in our tithes and our offerings, we're robbing ourselves, because God cannot bless us. And you might say, well, wait a minute, tithing is a law thing. Well, it's not. Because Abraham and Jacob offered tithes well before Mount Sinai. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. Abraham was grateful for God's help in defeating his enemies. And it said, he blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Jacob also gave tithes to the Lord. Genesis 28:20. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That's what a tithe is. 10%. The actual tithing system began during the time of Moses in Leviticus 27 and Deuteronomy 14. And there were two tithes required. There was an annual tithe for the maintenance of the Levites. Numbers 18:21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. A second tithe was also brought to Jerusalem for the Lord's feast. Deuteronomy 14:22. Thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. Every third year, there was a second tithe which was kept at home, which was given to the poor. Deuteronomy 14:28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow which are within the gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. During Malachi's day, so there were these tithes that were meant to be given. There was meant to be a 3-yearly tithe as well. There was meant to be a tithe for the maintenance for the Levites, a tithe that was brought to Jerusalem for the feast, and a tithe every 3 years for the poor. But in Malachi's day, they weren't doing any of that. So the Levites were dependent on the tithes from the people. So when the Levites went to work, that was how they lived. That was their salary. So if the people weren't given their tithes, then the Levites weren't getting an income. And then we go back to the fact that the Levites couldn't be bothered anymore. They weren't offering the sacrifices that they should have. They weren't being the example to the people that they should have. So you can see that this is circular. The Levites weren't doing what they should have been doing in being an example to the nation of how to live for God. The people in turn then weren't tithing to the temple, to God. So the Levites weren't being paid, so the Levites were like, what's the point? God wasn't able to bless the Levites, and he wasn't able to bless the nation. Everything we have is from God. The tithe is simply an acknowledgement of the giver of all that the Lord has blessed us with. 1 John 3:7 says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, when we got married, Joe said, all that I have, or all that you have is mine, and all that I have is also mine. So I was like, I think I lost out for there. But all that we have belongs to him. Because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have anything. The job that we have, you know, the blessings that we have, the position that we're in, everything we have comes from the Lord. And you might say, yeah, but we are not under the law. We are living in the age of grace. And you are exactly right. We're not under the Old Testament law. We're not under the Levitical law. We're not under the law of tithing. So how does that affect us then? Well, 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him in store as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I can. So we are not under the law, we are under grace. But the Bible says, our giving is to be regular upon the first day of the week. Our giving is to be all inclusive. Let every one of you, our giving is to be systematic, lay him in store, and our giving is to be proportionate, as God hath prospered him. Nowhere in the New Testament is it suggested that the believer is to give 10%. Nowhere in the New Testament is it suggested that the believer should tithe. And I know what you're thinking. Now you're thinking, oh my days, pastor just said we don't have to tithe. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't tithe. Tithing should be the starting point. Because we're not under law. We're under grace. And grace has given us far more than the Lord ever could. As God hath prospered him. I'm telling you now, it's possible to give a tithe, to give 10%, and still not give as God has prospered us. Giving is sacrificial. You know, you look at the widow and her mite. That wasn't 10%, that was everything that she had. The rich were there throwing their money in and they were like making a big show of it, but the Lord was more impressed with the widow and her mite than he was with the rich and all of the sound that their coins made as it went into the offering. The New Testament is far more concerned with the motive and the attitude of giving. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Malachi said, ye cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. How incredible is this one thing God says, prove me on. Prove me on. I, as a young Christian, was absolutely dead against tithing. Because I couldn't afford it. And I remember listening to pastor speaking one time, and he said, God says, prove me on. And I was like, easy enough for you to say. I can't do it. Come to the realization now that I can't afford not to do it. And God said, prove me. And I remember one time saying, right, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm going to be short this month, and it's going to be your fault. I got two little ones to look after, and I put my tithe in. And the Lord shouldn't have blessed me because of my attitude in giving. But the end of the month came, and I was like, oh, how have I still got enough money left? That doesn't make any sense. And the Lord will get it one way or another. I remember one time I forgot to put my tithe in. And I said, well, you know, we're midway through the month now, and I always do it on the first of the month, and so, you know, there's no point in giving it now, surely. And my washing machine broke down. Sorry, Joe's washing machine broke down. And the cost to repair that washing machine to the penny was the exact cost of what our tithe usually was. I was like, okay, Lord, I won't miss another one. You get it one way or another. Malachi gave God's people hope after informing them that they were cursed. He said, look, here's the problem, but here's the solution. And that's the thing with when we preach the word. It's not a case of browbeating people to say, this is your problem, this is your fault, this is... God gives us a solution. In preaching, there ought to be a reproving, a rebuking, but in all long-suffering and doctrine, so that there is a solution to the problem that we face. And Malachi says to the nation of Israel in this day, look, you have robbed God. Where did we rob God? You've robbed him in tithes and offerings. But here's the thing. If you do this, you can put it right. And God will bless you. He said, if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, they will be meat in your season. And guess what? You can prove me, says the Lord, and I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out the blessings here. God's command was to bring the tithes to the storehouse. The storehouse here was the temple, and a reference to the chambers in the temple. Nehemiah says, the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. So the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithes of the tithes under the house of our God to the chambers into the treasure house. And you might say, well, okay, this doesn't really apply to us today. What God was saying to the nation of Israel, you are to bring the tithes to the storehouse. We would apply that biblical principle of bringing our tithes and offerings to the local church to support the work of the church. The tithing system was set up to support the work of the Levites and of the temple. You know, people are absolutely amazed when they talk about the extension, and every builder that's come on has said, where did you get the money from? What grants did you get? Is this lottery funded? I'm like, no. It's coming from the church. What? The people in the church have given, and as a result, we've been blessed and we've been able to build a building. Church is not reliant on external income, as it were. We rely upon the income from the giving. I remember having a phone call with John Thomas. And John said, church has voted and we'd like you to come as a pastor. I was like, right, okay. He said, this is how much money we got in the bank. We can pay you for 2 years. I said, okay. Let's do it. And that was 16 years ago. And we've still got a bit of money in the bank. Not as much now, because we've spent it all. But there's still enough money in the bank to pay the bills, even though the electricity is going up and the gas is going up. And there's still enough money in the bank to buy supplies for tea and coffee on a Sunday night and to buy stuff for the kids and youth. But we couldn't do that as a church without you. And that's where I think sometimes pastors get a little bit ahead of themselves. Because without the congregation, the pastor would just be stood up at the front on his own. You are the church. Not this building. This building is nice to be able to gather in, but you are the church. And this church can't function without you. How incredible that when we honour the Lord in our tithes and our offerings, that there's provision. You know, he says that there may be meat in mine house. The priests that ministered in the temple were fed by the tithes of the people, and they were able to devote their time and ministry in obedience to the word of the Lord and in serving the people. And it takes money to take care of the church, to take care of upkeep and insurance and bills, etc. And how incredible to see God's hand of blessing when he provides for us in ways that we think, well, how has he done that? And he says, prove me. Prove me now herein, says the Lord of hosts. God's challenge is for us to prove him. And that word prove is from the Hebrew word, which means to examine, to scrutinize, to try, to put to the test. He's saying, trust me, and I'll show you exactly what I can do for you. And then he says he'll pour out a blessing. He's promised to pour out a blessing upon us when we put him first in the area of giving. In the days of an old country store, a little boy used to accompany his mother when she went shopping, and the storekeeper always said, take a handful of candy, son. But the boy never would. So the storekeeper would reach into the box and give him a handful. And one day his mother asked, why is it that when he asks you to take a handful, you never do? And the boy replied, because his hands are bigger than mine. God promises to empty out the blessings of heaven when we're obedient to His word. And you know what? Oftentimes, we talk about tithing and we always think of it in a monetary sense. But what about our time? Do we even give the Lord 10% of our time? You know, there are some people who come once on a Sunday morning and think, well, that's it, I've given the Lord all He deserves. But what about a Sunday night? What about a Wednesday night Bible study? What about when the doors are open? What about when there's extra ministries going on? What about our morning prayer time? What about our morning devotion? If we added up all the time that we spent with the Lord, does that even come to 10%? When we think of all that He gave us, He gave everything. We need to understand what a sacrifice it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just to go to the cross, the Calvary, but to leave the glories of heaven. To leave the angelic host that praised and worshipped and gave Him glory to come down and be spat upon, cursed at, and mocked by those that He came to save. He gave up everything for us. And yet we're not even willing to give up 3 hours of our time in a week. I mean, what is that in relation to our whole week? Do we tithe our time? Do we give back to the Lord? He just wants us. And then we see the rebuke game, because the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast their fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. God not only promises an abundant blessing, He promised to protect what they already had. He said, I will rebuke the devourer. The devourer was that which would ruin or consume their crops. You know, farmers last year, two years ago during COVID, had an absolute nightmare because they had the wettest winter on record, which meant they couldn't prepare the fields. Then we went into COVID, and then they had the driest summer on record. So they really couldn't, you know, we wonder why the cost of living is so much now. We are literally reaping what's been sown over the past few years. Because our farmers couldn't take care of the fields. You know, we need to understand in this day and age, the fields meant everything. Because if they couldn't get a crop, then they couldn't provide for themselves. And the Lord said, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of your fields. If you are obedient to me, I'll even take care of that which you've already got. You know, when we think, how on earth are we going to manage? How are we going to manage with the cost of living? The decisions we make today now are, well, do I put the heating on or do I put food in the cupboard? That's kind of the decisions that are being made now. And for some people, it's frightening. How are we going to get through the winter? How are we going to manage? How are we going to do this? We've really got to trust the Lord. Really trust the Lord to stop our little spinny dial going round too quick. We've got to really trust the Lord to make sure that whatever little we have coming in financially, that He'll make go a lot longer. You know, we always used to panic that we had more month than money, and we just pray now that the Lord will just, in our obedience to Him, will make that like the widow's pot of oil. Because we really need to trust Him now to make things stretch. Our devourer today may be the gas bill, the electricity bill. It may be, you know, a car repair. It may be, you know, layoffs in our job situation and a whole host of things. So many things that can drain our bank account. But we need to say, Lord, we'll be faithful to You. But You promised now for us to not only prove You, but You promised to make sure that what we do have, You kind of protect as well. He said, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delight in some land, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord promises us a good testimony when we give to him. Like I said, the amount of people that have asked us what funding we've had for the building next door, and they have literally lost the words when we say none. We've not asked for any outside help. Christians have just given to the work of the Lord. And the Lord has blessed, and it's been a testimony. Because everybody that's come in then, we've had the opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. And people see that. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. It's a true story of a young man whose family was poor. At the age of 16, he left home to seek his fortune, I suppose, because his father couldn't support him. The only thing he knew how to do was to make soap and candles. So he journeyed to New York, he set up a soap making business, and he met an old canal boat captain who gave him this advice. Be a good man, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, pay the Lord all that belongs to him, make an honest soap, and I'm certain you'll be a prosperous and rich man. William arrived in New York and got a job in a soap factory. The first dollar he earned, he gave 10% to God. Soon he became a partner, and later he became the owner. After the partner died and the business grew miraculously, so he gave a double tithe. He gave 20% of what he had. Then a triple tithe, and then a fourfold one, and then he gave half of his income. It seemed as if his sales increased in exact proportion to his generosity, so that soon his make of soap became a household word throughout the world. God's blessings were upon this man. The Christian that proved God by his sacrificial giving was a man by the name of William Colgate. And I'm sure we all recognize the name today. God just wants us. He wants us to be faithful. Sometimes we want God to use us for the bigger things, but we're not even faithful in the smaller things. If we can't be faithful in the 10% things, how can we be faithful in some of the bigger tasks that the Lord wants us to do? And this isn't just about giving. This isn't saying, oh, we need your money. And it's not about that. It's just about us being obedient to the Lord. Because if he has this, everything else will come naturally. It's just about giving ourselves to him. Because he gave everything to us when he went to the cross. Don't reject God's word. Maybe you're not where you should be today. Maybe you need a return. Maybe there's things in your life that you were doing that you know the Lord's not happy with. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we're not being blessed like we should, because we're not where we should be. Part of our heart we're holding back, and the Lord says to us, return. But instead of us saying, well, we're in, should we return? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm innocent. Instead of saying that, we should say, okay, Lord, my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Perhaps we need to return to the Lord and repent of whatever it is we're doing that's wrong, put it right so that God can start blessing us. And maybe we're not giving like we should. You know, we get into the point then, ah, yeah, but is that net or gross? Do I give before tax or do I give after tax? You give as unto the Lord. I would say 10% is a good place to start. But I'd also say this, you can't outgive God. Yeah, but the thing is, cost of living today now, and, you know, we can't afford to. You can't afford not to. I'm just going to say that. And it is something that I have actually proved God on. And it does work. Because God will never, ever see his children go without when we are walking in obedience to him. Don't rob God of his tithes and offerings, because it belongs to him anyway. Yeah, the Lord, as Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. If we're not careful, holding on to what we have, could very well be taken away from us anyway, because we're not giving back to the one who gave it to us in the first place. Let's just honour the Lord. And don't just tithe and leave it there. That should be a good starting point. But don't just tithe with money, tithe with your time. Add up to the time that we have available to us, and are we giving that time back to the Lord? Are we serving Him like we should? Are we reading His Word like we should? Are we praying like we should? Are we in His church like we should be? Are we witnessing as we should? Are we giving back to Him what He has given to us? Because He gave us everything. And we ought to give Him something back in return. Yeah, but salvation is free. I understand that. I understand that it doesn't cost us anything for salvation. When you appreciate somebody, you go all out to make sure they know how much you appreciate what they've done for you. How do we show God our appreciation to what He's done for us? By just being obedient to Him and giving back to Him what He is worth. Father, we thank You again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around Your Word. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us, Father. We recognize the mistakes that the nation of Israel made, Lord. They were so blessed to be able to call You their God, and yet they didn't realize what they had. They weren't offering the sacrifices that they should have. They weren't being obedient to Your Word. They weren't tithing as they should have. And they weren't being blessed. But Father, we're thankful for the fact that we have Your Word in our hands. We pray that You would help us to be obedient to that Word, that we would be faithful to You, and that we would give back to You even just a portion of what You've given to us. So Father, help us to show how much You are worth in our worship of You. Father, thank You so much for the way in which You've blessed us as a church, for the way in which Your hand is upon each family here, Lord. We recognize that there are many struggling and hurting with health and with difficulties. Father, You've never left us, You've never forsaken us, and You've never allowed us to go through these trials on our own. So would You help us today, Lord? You know the ones who have needs, You know the ones who are carrying burdens, and You know the ones who are struggling. Would You speak to hearts today, we pray. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Before we sing our last hymn together, just a few announcements. Tonight's message on interruptions will be the last one, and it will be the interruption, Abraham's interruption in the time that he spent in hell. So that will be the last interruption tonight. Wednesday night Bible studies we are doing downstairs from now on. If you could pray for us, pray for Alistair. Alistair's in the pulpit next weekend, morning and evening. If you could please pray for us. This will be my first Bible conference in Philadelphia without Mark. So if you can just pray for that. I got quite a busy weekend doing a memorial service for Mark on the Saturday, and then preaching the conference Sunday to Wednesday. So if you could pray for that, pray for Alistair. Brother Andrew will be in the pulpit a week Wednesday. And on this Wednesday, we'll be downstairs for Bible study. And we're only on our second message of Job. So if you weren't able to come last week, we're only on message two, so come along on a Wednesday night. It is a bit more relaxed. People said they felt a lot more comfortable asking questions. So we might even do a tea and coffee this week, we'll see. So that's a Wednesday night. Don't forget to fill in the sign-up sheets for prayer breakfast for the Season Saints. There's a new ministry starting with the student age group, so Alison and Josh will be sorting that out. Pray for the students being back now. Pray that there's a church event going on the 29th. Pray for students going to the beach on Saturday. So Alison will speak to you about that a little bit later on. So just pray. Exciting times. Pray for the building. Floor's being laid tomorrow. So lots of exciting things going on in the building. Lots of exciting things going on in the church. So just be encouraged. The Lord is still on the throne. The Lord's in control. And just praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Bags for life. If anybody wants a bag for life, we had so many bags come in when we had stuff in for Ukraine. There's two boxes either side of the stairwells. Take as many as you want. No charge. You can have what you want. There's bags for life out in the stairwells. Any other announcements? No rehearsal today, no. We have a couple of weeks now, choir, listen to your choir CDs. If you haven't had the copy on your phone, speak to Josh. If you want hard copies, those who wanted CDs, Josh did that. We'll have a couple of weeks, and then in October, we'll make a start then, and have the ladies on a Sunday, sopranos and altos on a Sunday, and then we'll have the men on a Wednesday. Okay? Amen. All right, we'll stand and sing our last hymn together. And I wonder if Alan Penn was to close us in a word of prayer. Thanks for that, man.
What a wonderful thing to sing. If you've got that confidence knowing that one day we'll be with you in glory when we depart from this earth. So Father, we thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for the pastor's message. May it really speak to us that we must give you everything, Father. We must devote our whole lives to you. We thank you for going to that cross. You gave all for us. And we must give all for you. So, Father, if there's anybody who is listening this morning to that message, may they once again be challenged of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this day. Oh, Father, thank you again for your love towards each one of us here. And as we depart from this place, Father, but not from you, because you will go with us. And we pray that as we return tonight again to worship you in this place, we pray that you will be with us and bless us this evening, we pray. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.